Welcome to episode 13 of You're a Financial Planner, Now What? I'm your host, Hannah Moore, certified financial planner and owner of Guiding Wealth Management. On this episode, we'll share a presentation that I did on blogging. So without further ado, we'll jump right in.
Let me give you guys just a little kind of brief who I am. I think most of you guys know, but I started out in the industry, worked for a lady. I ended up buying her practice. I actually bought like 2.5 practices, if you would. I was with a broker-dealer, managed a good amount of assets, and then last year I left the broker-dealer, took a select number of clients, and started my own RIA. I tried to do blogging within the broker-dealer, and I did some of that, but it was very restrictive. It was very much running up against walls. For example, in their compliance manual, it actually had a line that said blogging is prohibited. So I would go and submit my, you know, your advertising review forms that, you know, you have to fill out. And if I wrote down that it was a blog, it was automatically rejected. If I put down that it was an additional website page, it was approved. So there were a lot of like workarounds that you had to do. And I think a lot of that is because the industry doesn't understand what blogging is. So now that I have my own RIA, I've started blogging a lot more. I'm still not a super blogger. How I've seen my blog be successful for how I need it to be is really in twofold. One is a relationship building with my clients. So I send out my blogs to my client list every time I publish a blog, and my content resonates with them, or that's what the feedback that I'm getting. So my clients are calling me about the blogs that I've written. So that's been just a good kind of building value, I guess, if you would, for my clients. The second place that I've seen value is I haven't seen my blog bring in clients. It is absolutely possible. I just haven't dedicated the time and resources to that. But I've had people who have been referred to me by other advisors or by other clients who've come to my website and read my blog, and they've told me, like, after reading your content, like, then we knew we could contact you. And so whereas they had looked at some other advisors and that they didn't have that content, they didn't have that voice, if you would. So as we go through, so what we're going to cover in this topic here is what is blogging? And I think to really understand blogging, we have to first look at it from outside the financial industry, because we are late to the party on this. And so I think that's really, I think, where we can get the meat and really kind of get some of the innovative ideas on how to do blogging. So we're going to talk about the type of bloggers, so why people or companies blog, examples of blogs. We're going to walk through some examples. How to monetize blogs, so how are bloggers not in the financial industry monetizing their blog? How could we monetize our blog differently? And then we're gonna just go through practicals from how to write content to compliance to everything else where that has to do with the actual nuts and bolts of blogging. So first of all, what is blogging? So a definition online is a regularly updated website or web page, typically one run by an individual or small group that is written in an informal or conversational style. So I want to hit on three main, I guess, areas, if you would, on this, that regularly updated. Consistency is absolutely key in blogging and creating an audience. So my problem for myself, why like it hasn't been able to find, I haven't found clients, is that I'm not as consistent in my blogging. Now, I already have an audience, though, so my clients are my audience that I'm writing to. So to build up that audience, consistency is really important. And again, that just goes to why are you blogging? So if you're blogging to bring in new business, consistency is very important. So it's run by an individual or small group, typically. So these are people who have stories or information to share. So you have to have a reason. You have to have something that you want to communicate. There has to be some bigger arch behind your blog. So, you know, writing down, you know, a market, you know, what did the market do today? Like that's, they can go to Bloomberg for that. Like they don't need your blog for that. So what is the story? What is the message that you want to be talking to those people? And then lastly, it's informal or conversational. And it's all about creating this human connection, because that's what we're doing with blogging, is you're taking, I mean, financial services is incredibly intimidating to most people out there. So blogging really gives us an opportunity to make it human. Say, you know, here I am, like I am Hannah Moore, and like this is who I am. And people can read that in my blogging. So the other really big piece about blogging is it promotes your brand. So there's two different brands that we're looking at here. So one is your personal brand, and I love this definition of a personal brand, which is a promise that you'll be the same wherever people find you. So as just young professionals, if we're anything we post on Facebook or Twitter, just even on our personal accounts, like that's promoting our personal brand. So the idea is you want that to be consistent between every avenue that people are seeing you. So if you're putting any content out online, like that needs to be consistent. So we'll come back to this a little bit later. But then a business brand is, it's a promise to your customer. It tells them what they can expect from your products and services, and it differentiates your offering from your competitors. So, you know, I should have used True North as a good example. I mean, their website is very modern. Their office space is very modern. You know, you're getting the same feel. Like clients, the last thing clients want is to be surprised. And so building that consistency is really, really important. So types of bloggers. So there's really, I think, three different groups that I would say are bloggers. The first one is personal bloggers. And so these are just people who share parts of their life with family and friends. So I have some friends who have just a site that they just post pictures of their kids and what they're doing. It's better, they prefer to do that versus Facebook. A lot of the next group started out in these personal bloggers. So the second group is blogging that's turned into a business. So people who have a very specific interest and want to build an audience to eventually make money. So when I talk with bloggers, a lot of times they're natural writers, and this is not in the financial industry. Zanga, I don't know if any of you guys remember Zanga, but a lot of them are like, we started in Zanga, we were just writing to write because we loved to write and we just needed to get it out there. And so that's how a lot of bloggers started. And then they found that as they've just consistently done it, that they've built this audience, and then it's like, well, what do you do with this audience now? Can we monetize it? And so a lot of these bloggers are monetizing it. So the third group is going to be businesses that blog. And so this is people who already are a business who are now entering the blogging world. And so I think those are very unique groups. And there's a lot of gray and overlapping, but I think that gives us a good starting point. So blogging that's turned, so the first group, let me go back. For the personal blogging, we're not really gonna talk on that. It's pretty self-explanatory. Some people use Facebook as a personal blog. I've seen people do Instagram. I think Instagram's a really good platform for like personal blogging, if you would. But we're gonna talk about business blogging that's turned into a business. So the first kind of groups, these are just four segments. And there are a million segments out there. Mommy bloggers, so moms who are staying at home, raising kids, talking about, you know, coupon clipping, things of that nature. There's a lot of travel and lifestyle blogs that are out there. Home improvement, you know, a lot of, you know, you see the Fixer Upper, there's a lot of blogs out there. If you wanna know how to do anything, it's on the internet now. And there's also a lot of like faith-based types blogs. And really there's blogs for anything that you could want to do these days. Like there are so many blogs out there. And the more specific these bloggers get, the more specific the audience that they attract. So for me personally right now, I am very drawn to bloggers who are women, who run a business out of their home and have kids and have multiple employees that also work out of their home. Okay, that is extremely specific and a very, very specific demographic that when those bloggers write, like I immediately turn in. I see an email in my email and it's like I have to read it because that is very much the demographic that I am. So I am exactly that audience. So that's one example of how these blogs get so specific. So when they offer up a product or service, it's so specific to me that there's not even a question that I want to do it. And that's kind of what you want for blogging. So I want to go through some of these blogs and I want to go through kind of how they're set up and how they're making money, because I think that's really important. Because if we're really going to exploit how to make money as financial advisors, we have to understand how bloggers make money. So the first one is Money Saving Mom. Has anybody heard of her? You have, okay. So she, Crystal Payne is her name. She is probably one of the most successful mommy bloggers that are out there. If you go on Facebook, her Facebook page has like 850,000 likes. So her audience is 850,000 people. Like that's ridiculous. But you can see on her website, it's a little blurred, but it says Money Saving Mom. And right underneath you can see Intentional Finance, Intentional Family, Intentional Business. So you know exactly what you're gonna get with her. So there's several places. So all of her content should fall under like that purpose, if you would. So if it's not about living intentionally, it's not going to be on her site. So how does she monetize her blog? Okay, so on her blog, there's a couple different ways. We can just see right here, and she has many, many more. But you can see the ad, you can see the top rated CRO, I don't even know what that is, but that's an ad that's run. So all of these blogs have ads, you know, ads that they put on them, and these ads just filter through, and there's just a service that does that. But the more website viewers they get, the more money that they make. So how the pricing on that usually works, it is per 1,000 impressions. So an impression, when I went to this website, I counted as one impression. If I go to another page on her website, that's a second impression. And so that's how they measure how much money she's gonna make from that advertising. So per 1,000 impressions, it's usually anywhere from $1 to $5. So that's not really a whole lot of money. I mean, my website gets like no traffic at all. I'd get none of, you know, I get like 50 cents. But when you're having hundreds of thousands of people hit your website every month or every, you know, like that can add up very quickly. So the other places that she is making her money, you can see her first post here is get 20% off your entire purchase of Rocky Mountain Essential Oils. So that is an affiliate link. And so it's either an affiliate link or a sponsor link, and we'll talk a little bit about those. It's an affiliate link, meaning anybody who clicks on that and buys through them, now most likely, I can't say for certain, but most likely she is gonna get a kickback on that. So it'll be a percentage of their total profit, like the total amount, or it can be a set dollar amount. So think about her audience. She has 850,000 Facebook fans that follow her. So if she puts this up there and half of 1% like click on it and actually buy this, like it's a fraction of her audience, but she's gonna make a lot of money off of this if she, you know, as you do these promotions, because her audience is so big. She also has Want to Learn to Save Money Using Your Smartphone. It's a free 5-day course. Just fill out this form and you'll get signed up for, you know, signed up for that for free. So what she's doing there is she's capturing everybody's email addresses. So she's defining her audience. Audience is one of the most important things that you have when you're blogging. And so she's trying to get people, giving them free resources in order to get their emails so she can stay in contact with them. And so I have no idea how big her email list is, but she has completely blown up and she is probably making money in more places than we even know. She is speaking, she's a regular speaker all around the country now. Her message has gotten out. So a lot of the blogs, like on her Facebook, if you go to her Facebook page, a lot of the content is, you know, my kids are three kids to one bedroom because we're saving up and we're gonna, you know, we wanna stay out of debt. You know, those are the types of messages that those are the types of people that she's talking to. So the next example is kind of this lifestyle blog. So travel hackers. That's kind of a big one these days. And so this is this guy, Clint, his bio under his picture, pulled it out there. It says, I have been traveling the world for more than a decade to over 100 countries. I'll show you how to upgrade your adventures and plan the trip of a lifetime. Follow me on my journey and reach out with any questions that you have along the way. And his tagline, under, you can see right at the top, it's upgrade your adventure. Well, if you're into traveling and you're into that type of thing, that upgrade your adventure is gonna grab you. I mean, it did me. When I saw it, I was like, well, shoot, I wanna upgrade my adventure. So he has a very specific brand and a very specific message to his audience in order to try to grab people. So looking at the next page, again, how does he monetize this blog? So this is just on his resources page. So you can see over here, you have the best travel credit cards, choosing a travel credit card, travel hacking without perfect credit. All of those, like so if you click on those links, they're gonna give you the list of like top credit cards for this. Well, when you click on that link for that credit card, he's gonna get paid money every time somebody signs up with one of those credit cards. So that's how he monetizes this blog. I know there's NerdWallet is a big one in our industry. They do a ton of monetization through credit card affiliates. It's a very, very big one. But each one of those links, again, I don't know for certain, but if I would imagine that each one of those links has a way for him to make money on doing it. So the next one is, again, these are all lifestyle. So this is a lifestyle blog. So Tracy's New York life. So culture, lifestyle, travel. Well, if you live in New York City, like, you want to follow this blog because she's going to tell you about all of the things that are coming up in her city. She's going to be on top of all of that. The first blog here is where to take your dog in New York City. I mean, that's good information to have if you're in New York City. What we can't see, because this is a slideshow, but she has a whole section for advertising. So if you were going to throw an event in New York City, it's very common for people to go to these lifestyle bloggers and say, hey, like, I will pay you X number of dollars to do a sponsored post where you promote our event coming up. So that is a very, very common way for geographic specific cities to make money on their blog. But again, her audience is so defined. Young house love. This is a couple who got married and bought a fixer-upper house and just started blogging about it. And so in the process, people apparently loved their style and kept coming back. They ended up buying two or three houses. They don't blog anymore. I know they stopped it. But they were developing such an audience that was so interested in what they were doing. There's Shopper House. So you go there, you can see all of the stuff that they've bought in their house. And then you click on those links and you buy it. If you buy it within so many days, there's a cookie that's placed on your computer, you buy it within so many days that they get money from that. What's really neat about this site, you can see the ads. There's two ads just on this first page above the fold, if you would. So they're getting money off of that. But if you go to their site, they'll actually break down where they're getting all of their money from. So they're getting their money from a lot of advertisements that are placed on their website. People are clicking out, or even other blogs are having them paying for them to write up their content. They got paid that way. But they actually break down as a percentage of their total income, how are they making their money? So it's really interesting to kind of see how they operate. A lot, once you kind of get this really big audience, doors open up for you. So there's a lot of bloggers who start blogging, who end up writing books. Humans of New York is a great example. He just, essentially his blogging platform was social media. I guess maybe he does have a blog, I don't even know. But he wrote, New York Times bestseller because he had the audience and he had a captured audience. So I want to jump to businesses that blog. So this is just one example. This is Cobb Tuning. So once you buy a car, I'm not a big car person, but once you buy these cars, people want to figure out how to soup them up, basically. And so this is a site where they sell all of these aftermarket products that help enhance the performance of their car. And so they have all of their product line, but they've also developed this blog to tell these other stories and to give out more to build anticipation for things that are coming out. So they'll say, we've started working on this car, like this specific car, we're working on it. Well, if you have that car or you're interested in that car, you're gonna keep coming back to hear the updates on everything that they have going on for that. But I think this is a really interesting example of how a company used what they already have to create interest in many areas around it. So financial planners blogging. So I wanna really go into I want to look at examples of financial planners who are doing it really well. There's a number of examples out there, but I want to focus on these ones right now. So Josh Patrick, he's up in the Northeast. He runs a blog. It's called Stage 2 Planning, which is excellent. Like, he is so on point with his message. He works with business owners who are in the process of selling their businesses. And if we have time, we can pull up their site. And from beginning to end, if you are a business owner, a successful business owner, you are going to feel so at home on his website because everything talks about that. Mom and Dad Money, this is a younger advisor, Matt Becker. I think he's out of Florida now. And he's really targeting parents with young children, because that's this demographic that he is in. And so he's found a couple different interesting ways to monetize his blog that are a little bit more unique to financial planners. We can't talk about blogging without talking about Jeff Rose and Good Financial Sense. And so we'll talk a little bit about how he has structured his blog, because it's interesting, because his company doesn't actually have a blog. But we view him as like this great financial blogger. Locally, I wanted to throw in Katie Brewer, Your Richest Life. We can look at her site and see what she's doing really, really well. And then Michael Kay. He does Financial Life Focus is his company, and he does also a great job of blogging. He writes for New York Times. I don't know. He writes a number of places, but he also has a really good way that he has done it. So yeah, so just this tip on the side that financial bloggers doing it well connect with their audience, and their audience wants to hear more from them. I mean, my dream would be that there are people who are saying, like, we can't wait till what you come out with next. I mean, that's crazy. And even just from a business development standpoint, if I could even have a list of 1,000 people who have said, we've seen what you've done, we want to hear more from you, like, those are the 1,000 people that I'm most likely to get new clients from. And like, that's a really, really powerful thing. Your list of people who've said, we want more, is one of the most powerful things that you can have. So this is stage 2 planning partners, and this is their blog. Now, what I wish, and we might, let me see what time, how we're doing on time. We might jump over, we'll come back to this. I'm gonna show you this, and we might come back and look more at their website as a whole, because I think they've done such a great job for business owners. So all of their blog topics are something that business owner clients would want to read. So are you saving enough? 5 warning signs your financial plan isn't working. What you need to know about your cash balance plan. And if you go down his blog list, they are so specific to business owners that the business owner, I mean, I'm a business owner, so I like when I see his blog list, I'm like, you know, I haven't thought about that, but that is such a good question I need to know the answer to. That's the response that you want to get out of the people that you're blogging to, which means you have to have a very defined audience. You have to know who you're going after. So the people who are one fit for all, it's a little bit harder, but Jeff Rose does it, so maybe we'll see what he does. So mom and dad money. Okay, so let me go back. So stage 2 financial planning, how do they monetize it? Well, their biggest monetization is that they become clients. Like that is, for financial planners or financial advisors, that is our biggest advantage, like of anything when we look at blogging, is that we can monetize by getting a client. So you start looking at companies and you look at the marketing value of what is one client worth. It's just, I mean, thousands. And for some people it's, you know, 5 figures. So if you can create a place that's attracting clients instead of, you know, going out, usually, you know, we have to go out and we have to put our message in front of other people. But with blogging, the idea is that these people who are looking for answers are gonna naturally be drawn to what we're doing, and that's gonna make them a much better fit. So that's kind of what you're going for here. So he's, from what I can see, and again, there's so much you can do these days, but from what I can see, how he's monetizing this is that they're becoming clients, which is very profitable. So mom and dad money. So this is a much more casual, he's in the XY Planning Network, so he's much more of that monthly retainer model, doing things along that line. He, at FinCon, which is a conference about for financial bloggers, he won an award of like best financial blog, like financial advisor blog. So he's, FinCon? Mm-hmm. Yep, it's where finance and media meets. And we'll talk more about that later on. But he monetizes it through finding clients, but he's also set up courses. So he has a course plan, and there's different levels that people can sign up for. So it can be, I think he charges, it's like a 6 or 10 week course, and he charges per week. So it can be $10 per week up to like $45 per week. But that's how he's monetizing this. And the great thing about courses is that you don't have to be there. I mean, you can literally, it can all be automated. So it's a really passive income stream that I think is a really interesting idea. Other people who've done courses really well, Brittany Castro, she's doing an excellent job with the course that she has. And again, all of this is automated. You can build this all out in your system. She's a great one. Mary Beth Stroberg, never get her name right, but Workable Wealth. She's also one who's done a really good job with courses. If you want to find people who are doing that. Good financial sense. So Jeff Rose, pretty much everybody's heard. Well, Jeff Rose is probably the most prominent financial blogger that's out there. So a couple things about Jeff is he has just blown this out of the water. So his blog is, I listened to him at FinCon last year, and his blog this year he was projecting could actually make more than his financial planning company. So like, that's crazy. So you don't see it on here, but he does run ads. So he gets a tremendous amount of traffic to his website. So he runs a lot of advertising. He also does, you know, people click and buy, you know, sign up for whatever it is. I don't think he does this one, but Betterment is a big robo-advisor people hear about all the time. A lot of these financial people who are blogging about finances, if they promote Betterment, you click on that link and then they get paid for every sign up that goes to their website. He does a lot of really interesting ways to make money that are very untraditional. So he can never be called fee only because he does a lot of these other things, but very, very successful. And he started a blog just to write about everything financial. So he is all over the board. He writes about Roth IRAs. He talks about Trade King Review. I mean, that's the person that's going to attract is going to be much more of a do-it-yourselfer versus somebody who I would want to attract who wants an advisor. Three utterly obvious ways to build wealth. You know, all of these. So it's a very different type than I guess other financial bloggers do, but it's very successful. And so he produces a lot of content. So he has good financial sense. He has a lot of websites. He has good financial sense, and he has jeffrose.com, which I think is more of his like financial planning practice type one, but that is exclusive of his financial planning firm. So his firm doesn't actually have a blog, but his other blogs point to his financial planning firm. So it's kind of an interesting way that he has built up that. And if we have time, again, we can go to his website and I can point out like how he's structuring these things. But he's also started doing a lot of online webinars. There was a Kitsis article about him recently about how webinars are the new seminars. You know how traditionally, you know, advisors would go out and do seminars. So he's doing a lot of webinars. I've gotten emails. I'm on his email list. Long-term care webinars. Well, if somebody goes and gets educated about a long-term care, they're much more likely to buy a long-term care insurance policy from him. So that's from the outside what it seems like he's doing there. So Katie Brewer, local, she started Your Richest Life. So financial planning. So hers, you can see hers is plan wisely, live fully. So she's, you know, buying a car at the right price, 8 money books for new grads. So she's trying to build an audience, a younger audience, who again is trying to do that retainer model. So what she's done exceptionally well at, well, she's been consistent, number one, which is a big deal, but she's been exceptional at getting into the media. So we'll talk more about how people find your blog later. And I think the thing I've been most impressed about Katie's blog is how she's everywhere in the media. And so when you get everywhere in the media, they point back to your blog, which helps your site rankings and help builds you up. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. And then financial life focus. So this, they don't even call it a blog. He calls it a money log. But he, Michael Kay, he talks a lot about like the soft side of money. So his new book, The Feel Rich Project, is finally here. So again, he's using his blog as an announcement to his audience. If we could go down even lower to see all of his blogs, that restructuring your money code, he talks about how your money past is like hijacking your money future, like all of his content is focused on that. So the types of clients that are going to walk in his door are going to be clients who appreciate that type of content. And he knows that. That's who he is. So what I want to do is we have about 20 minutes left, 25 minutes left, and we can go longer. But I want to talk about the practicals of how you do a blog. And then if we have time, I can do questions or we can pull up more of these sites and I can actually walk you through like different elements and what they're doing really, really well. So the practicals. So a blog has to be part of a business plan. So how do you, where does that fit? Like how does this fit in your company's annual business plan, if you would? How do you drive content? How do you create the content? How do you drive traffic? How do you create the content? We'll talk about compliance for a little bit. And then I want to give you guys resources on where you can find out more information on this. So, where does blogging fit into a business plan? You look at the sales funnel. So, bloggers who do it right recognize that blogging is the first step in a sales funnel. So, blogging is the high end of that, where that those prospects come in. So if you just focus on blogging and nothing else, you're missing the point of blogging. Because then you're just gonna be a regular blogger. You have to have a plan to get them from coming to your website to becoming a client. And if you don't have that, blogging is not worth the time. Because you have to say, so how do you take somebody who's come to your website? The easiest way to do that is you get them on your email list. So you get them on your email list, and then you can start communicating with them regularly. And so for a lot of people, they'll build out email campaigns. And the software that's out there, you can go from basic MailChimp, which is just, you know, every Wednesday we're going to send them this, or once a month, or whatever that plan is. Or you can get even more specific, and it's crazy. Like, you can see what pages that person clicked on. And when you see what pages that they clicked on, you know what they're interested in, so you can target your content based upon what they're interested in. That's way beyond my pay grade and way beyond where I'm at on everything. But people who do this really, really well are employing a lot of those strategies. So from getting the blogging brings people in, gets people on your email list, then you can have specific offers for them. You can say, you know, 1 hour, you know, coaching call or whatever that could be. A lot of times people do it by, you know, smaller offerings, because doing a whole financial plan and giving all of your assets over to somebody is a really big deal. So maybe they're more comfortable with doing something from $100 to $500 pricing point. And if they're doing that, then you've turned somebody from a prospect into an actual customer. And a lot of the people that I've been following are saying like that is like a psychological shift in how people view you. Like then they're even more attached to you. So you're just pulling them down that sales funnel so they're actually ready to buy from you. But I think it's really important when we look at a business plan. If I was a business owner of a large firm and somebody was coming to me saying, hey, we want to do this blogging, like I don't think that it's enough just to say, we're just going to do this blogging. You have to have a plan for down the road how you're going to do that. And there's a lot of really great resources out there on how to do things like that. And I'll share some of those with you guys later. So driving traffic. So how do people find your blog? As I said earlier, if you already have an audience, my audience is my clients right now. So I should be, I think, more focused on driving traffic, but I'm content with my clients being my audience. So if you want to bring traffic, the easiest way is social media. So this can be done a lot of different ways. So it can be done, I mean, you've seen the people who tweet out, you know, 15 times a day. Where is your audience at? That's the biggest question for social media. So if your audience is a bunch of 20-year-olds, Facebook probably isn't gonna be the place for them. And you're probably gonna be looking at much more contemporary places like Snapchat. I mean, like, that's gonna be more where your audience is. That's the biggest question with social media, because you don't just want to do the platforms that you use, whatever. But that's a really great place, like for your companies, if they send out an annual questionnaire, say, where are you at online? Like, are you on Facebook? Like, would you be interested like in getting updates from us on Facebook? Or are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram? Like, where are you at? And if your clients give you that information, I mean, that's gold. Like, then you're in the right platform, because if they're there, people like them are also going to be there. So email marketing, again, that goes from taking your blog, getting people where they are, to actually sending them through a process to becoming clients, so you actually make money off of them. Media quotes, again, Katie's really, really good at that, of getting, you know, media mentions. So media, that does a couple things. I have a friend who's up in the Northeast, and he got something like Forbes. He had a connection there. And so he would write full articles for them. And whenever he wrote a full article, he's like, I get two clients. Where people read the article, they liked what he had to say, and so they called him up. And so, again, the scale of that, you know, it's Forbes. I mean, that's a massive platform with a huge audience. So it's, you know, going to well over 100,000 people is kind of what he said, was reading it online. And two of those 100,000 people decided to become clients. So it's about getting that message in front of a large audience to get, you know, specific people. Locally, what that would look like, if you got a column in the Dallas Morning News, you probably don't have to worry about getting traffic to your site or getting traffic, you know, in your door. So again, those media quotes or media presence can be a big deal. Guest blogging, find somebody else who has a similar audience that you're trying to attract, who already has that audience, and ask to write for them. So a lot of these bloggers are really, really open to that. It gets a little tricky, but because you're a company. So sometimes people want sponsored posts where they'll say, you know, we want to get on your blog and we'll pay you money for that, which might be an option. I know there's some financial companies who are actually asking questions about that. But guest blogging can be really powerful.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
If we were to do a guest blog for someone else, would that be considered a recommendation?
So you have to just, you can't give specific investment recommendations. So you can't go and say, you know, Apple is doing this, and so therefore you should buy or sell. Like, so you, it needs to be in those broad terms.
But just even being, you know, if you're here, just going to do a guest blog for a third-party administrator or CPA firm or something like that, even just having a name,
I don't think so. And I know other firms, like really large firms, and I can give you their names later. I've seen some firms who've started doing that as actually part of their marketing plan. And so there are places, I don't think that's a compliance issue. And I can give you names of firms that size who are doing it, and you could, I'm sure you could reach out to them and talk to them specifically. But I don't think that that's an issue. And given what I've seen in the RIA space, there are a number of people who are already doing it that way. But yeah, you'll obviously want to make sure with your compliance team. So SEO, search engine optimization. So that's saying that you want Google to know that I am a Dallas financial planner and that I specialize in X, Y, and Z. You know, when you go to that stage two planning, his SEO, I'm certain everywhere is business owners, you know, business planning, selling your business, all of those terms. So Google knows that that's what you're looking at. And there's some great resources on SEO and how to build that. Media quotes help your SEO now. So Google's now saying it's not just about keywords, it's are other influencers pointing to you? Are other influencers saying Hannah's legit? And if they are, that's gonna help your SEO rank. If they aren't, it's gonna hurt your SEO. So kind of that social proof online. And then finally, directories. The most common one for in our space, the NAPFA directory. I know people who have built their entire practices off of NAPFA referrals. That's crazy to me, but if you get on the right directories, there is a blogger, it's like, oh, I can't remember the name of his, but he's for doctors, for young doctors. So that's all that blog is on. So he has a list of financial advisors that he recommends. He doesn't do financial planning, but if you're on, I know people on that list where they get a substantial amount of their business from being listed as a resource. They have to pay on his site. I think they have to pay like $800, $900 to get on that site. Yes, White Coat Investor. Yep. Are you guys on there? Yeah. Do you guys get good traffic from there?
The traffic that we get from White Coat Investor would be similar to the traffic, would be a similar audience that you'd get from somebody who would be a Vanguard investor. So there are already various who are typically a do-it-yourself or they're just going there. True up or confirm what they're doing is right. So we get some traffic, but usually
it's not the kind that you want. Yeah. The one of my friends is on there and all she does is hourly planning. So it's a perfect type of client for her where she's just booked up months out. But it fits her business model perfectly. But yeah, again, knowing your audience and knowing who's there. So let's talk about blog content, the pros and cons and how to do this and what's going on. So, okay, there's really three different ways that you can do this. You can write your own content, you can hire content writers, or you can have guest bloggers come and blog on your site. So let me tell you a little bit, okay, about how I've done it and kind of what I've learned. So I very much have this, I'm very picky about what goes on my website because I think it needs to come from me. But you hear financial planners all the time saying, well, yeah, it's blogging is so easy. You just go hire writers and they write three blogs a week for you and you put them on your site and it's SEO optimized and you're good. And that has been successful for a lot of people. But for me, what I found, so I went through the process of finding somebody to write for me. So they have you fill out a questionnaire, you write out who your audience is, and then you send this back to them, and then the writers will actually pitch ideas to you. So the writers will come back and say, like, we think you're, based on your audience and what we've seen, these are the topics, and they'll give you a title of it, and they'll actually give you a short snippet of what the blog will be about. And so I went through and did this, and I got like 5 or 7 blogs. It might have been more. It might have been like 8 to 10 blogs because the total price point was like $500, just to kind of give you perspective. And I could not publish them on my site because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel authentic to who I am. Now, if I was a bigger firm, I think that'd be a great option because it's not just one voice. So like it's just me. So like when clients come and work with me, like it's me versus, you know, larger firm where there's multiple advisors that they could be working with.
Did you have the opportunity to put your brand on their blog or the content list?
The content was on my blog. So it was my byline. So their authors don't go on it. Different writers will do different things on that. So some writers insist on their name as the byline. So one of the things about Jeff Rose, he does not write all of his content. But one of the things I respect him a lot for is when somebody else writes content, he uses their byline instead of his byline.
So I guess whenever you got the 5 or 8 blog posts,
yep.
Could you go in and edit it yourself? So they kind of give you the meat of the article, but could you then brand it as
absolutely.
Tone?
Yep. So I could have done that. I could have gone through and edited it. Yep, absolutely. And you're going to get what you pay for when you hire writers. So normal blog posts, again, people are all over on how long it should be. Normal is like 500 to 1,000 words. 500 is a good size blog. There are people in the blogging world now who are saying it needs to be several thousand words. Do what's comfortable. Just start getting content out there. The consistency is more important than anything. And writing content that's specific to your audience, I think, is really, really important. So hiring content writers, you can find writers down to $20 for a 500 word blog. Your content's not gonna be very good. All the way up to really any price point. I think 40 was, I think what I was paying, $40 to $50 to $60 a blog for writing content. It's gonna give you about average. It's not gonna blow you away. You're just gonna be like, we put content on our website. And then you're gonna go upward in price, 90 to probably 150. But what's great is if you find one writer, I highly recommend finding one writer and using that same writer because the voice is going to be the same. So it's going to be consistent writing through everything. So if you have the budget for it, I would say spending more money on a good writer is really important. So there are writers who write for like Financial Times and like are actually financial writers, like journalists, who do this as a side gig so that they already know the industry, they already know everything. So it's all about finding the right type, the right person to write your content, if that's what you're going to do, and finding the right person who understands what you're trying to do. So I write my own content. So I am not a natural writer at all, but I wanted to learn because I know how important this is, and I know how important my voice coming out of writing is. And so I've actually worked with a writing coach to help me learn to write better. So my process is, I'm not meeting with her now. I did last year. But I have an editor, so I write all my content, and then I have an editor go through and edit everything that I write, just to shore it up. I know that I think I'm a decent writer, but I think things are made great in the editing process. And so my assistant was actually an editor, so she does everything, she edits all of my content for me. So if you're gonna write your own content, I would recommend hiring an editor just to make as a filter. Or you can bring in guest bloggers and do a mix. You could do a mix of all of these. It just depends on how you want to structure and how you want that plan to come across.
What are your thoughts on like guest bloggers, whether it's a person or it's a company, mutual fund company, et cetera? If you get content from them, so like we work with a mutual fund provider and they provide a client ready hub, so you can go there and you can put your name on anything that they write. What do you think about, you know, me posting something from the client ready hub and then, you know, Ben also posting the same article?
So Google doesn't like that. And they'll actually flag you and downgrade you on their listing. What I found, and again, this is just my personal opinion, is those like the client ready materials, they're so broad and so generic. I mean, my filter for everything was, would I read this if it was emailed to me? And most of the client ready hub stuff was like, I don't want to read it. So like, why would my clients want to read it? My clients who aren't even interested in, you know, investments or a lot of the stuff that I do, why would they want to read it? So, I mean, I think the best way to figure out the content is ask your clients. I mean, when you have people in their office, be like, you know, we're really thinking about like blogging. What type of content would you want to hear? Like, would you want to hear stories of other people who are in similar spots as you? Do you want to hear market updates? Like, what are you looking for? And they'll tell you. So I don't know if that answers. Yeah. But
do you purchase content? Can you edit it, or is it part of the buy a blog and have to just use that?
No. So if you, okay, so there's a couple of different ways to buy the content. So, I mean, you can buy it from all of those places out there that, you know, client ready material. If you work with a writer one-on-one, it's your, like, you own it. You can actually say that you, like, when you publish it on your blog, like, I know there are financial advisors out there right now who everybody's heard their names, and I know for a fact they don't write their content. They hire writers, and they, you know, they just put their byline on it. But yeah, it's your property. You can change anything you want. They're just, you know, putting the content in there for you. So compliance concerns. So really what you're doing with blogging is you just have a website and you're just expanding it. Like, that's really all blogging is. And you're just putting it under, like, you have your traditional website, and then you have this other thing that's a blog that you just update the content on. So from a compliance standpoint, I know a lot of people get really wrapped up into like blogging. Well, how are you staying compliant? Well, how's your website compliant? Like, is your website getting archived every day? Well, which is required. If it's not, you know, so once you kind of have that established, I don't know, I just don't think blogging is as big of a deal from a compliance standpoint as I think we make it out to be. So supervision is one of the big concerns, I know. So I know when I was at the broker dealer, you know, blogging wasn't allowed. So the advertising review process was really important. So when I, at the broker dealer, once they approved it, I couldn't change a word. So that was really important. So if there was any change on anything that wasn't approved, then there was an issue. But that's where you just need to get within your company and you need to make sure that your processes are aligned. And what does your compliance manual say? So like my compliance manual says that, you know, the chief compliance officer has to approve the content. Well, that's me. Or somebody that I can designate can have the authority to post that content. Like, you can delegate some of those responsibilities as long as there's continuous oversight. But that's something that, you know, obviously you want to go through. And then how you promote it, the social media, all of those things, all of that needs to be monitored. So if you're getting mentioned in the media, like, you need to be able to, you have to capture all of those places so that when you're audited, you can produce all of those things. So I know people who just screenshot it, print it off. I know some who print it off and scan it in. I know some people who just have the links. But capturing that, I think, is important. And with
all,
so that's important to do that. And then with all the social media, I mean, there's so many services out there now. I mean, you pay for it. It's on the back end. You don't even think about it. But again, that's making sure that you have to understand your company's rules. So when I was at the broker dealer, like, I could tweet, but I could reply. It's been a while. I could reply to tweets, but I couldn't. I don't know. There was very specific do's and don'ts. You have to understand those rules. Otherwise, you'll get yourself in trouble. And then the BD versus RIA regulations, they're just so different. They're just very different, and you're just in two different worlds. The BD world, it's hard. It's really hard to get a blog going and promoting it the way you need to and all those elements. The RIA, it's much easier. It's still very possible to do it in the BD world as well. So to give you guys just some resources, Susan Weiner came out with a book called Financial Blogging. That's a really good resource, and she really walks through like what are the practicals of how you blog. Like, you know, how do you set up a post, the picture, the image, the tagline, you know, here are, when you go into WordPress or whatever your site is, you know, how, what are the SEO places that you need to have filled in, you know, all of that. She does a really good job on that, specific to the financial industry. Jeff Rose is, he has a program for financial advisors that he's coming out with. I know he was beta testing it at the end of last year. He has a group going through it now, and he'll be coming out with his full program soon. That would be a very, very good one to get on. It's probably going to be in the thousands of dollars price point. But that, if you're wanting to get into blogging and you're just like, I just need somebody to walk me through it, he is the guy for that. FinCon is a blogging conference. It's in San Diego this year. You can still buy tickets for it. It's where finance and media meet. And it has, it really, I went last year and it really opened my eyes to how big the world is within like, within just like financial advice. So there are bloggers out there who blog about personal finance who are literally talking to hundreds of thousands of people a month on their blog about personal finance issues. Like, that's crazy. And, you know, even as a financial advisor, you get a fraction of that, like, you're set. Like, you know, you get the right audience just from a business development standpoint. Like, it's great. But they have bloggers, they have members of the media there. If you're looking to find a writer to write on your site, FinCon is a great place to go. They have tons of resources there. And there's just so much growing in this space of how do you do this marketing well. They're on top of it. Learn from those doing it well now. So follow bloggers. Find people who are doing it well. Follow Michael Kay's blog. Follow that stage two planning. Follow bloggers that, and just kind of get the feel for it, because there's like this rhythm to it. And different people have different rhythms. And you'll learn so much from following them. And then there are a million resources online for how to start a blog. Like, you just Google how to start a blog and you are gonna find more content than you'll know what to do with. So there's from courses to just DIY type stuff to anything. So there are, yeah, lots of resources on there. So do you guys have any questions? I feel like I covered quite a bit there.
Your blog, is it on your company website or is it independent?
Yeah, it's on my company website. So you can see what I've done, and I know I'm not the best blogger. So this is my company website. So here are, okay, let me just go to my blog. And again, this is what I've chosen to do, and I'm small RIA with limited resources. So we just posted this blog today. I have a client, most of my clients, I have two demographics of clients. One of them is retired, like right at retirement age. So one of my clients is in the process of selling her home that she's been in for 43 years and moving into retirement community. And she's been retired for 8 years. And so she's just handled it really, really well. And so I asked her if I could interview her and just kind of be like, what has been your experience? Because I'm far from that, you know. So I interviewed her. And so this first blog is my observations. The next two blogs, I'm actually taking a transcript of what she said. I've edited down the transcript of what she said. And so I'm just gonna put up her text. So she's basically gave me that. So I'm telling a story of my client. The idea is I want somebody who's maybe thinking about this transition or like knows that that's gonna be on the horizon to come and see this and be like, oh, Hannah works with people just like me. And like that was the purpose of this blog. I went to a fifth grade class and talked about money with them. And so I wrote, it was just kind of a fun blog, kind of just gives personality to who I am. So that was, I've been tweeting with this fifth grade class, so that was a tweet picture that they sent me. I asked them their best money advice. And so just kind of a fun way, something that I'm already doing, to share it with my clients, show that I'm a person. Are you training for a sprint or marathon? Been thinking a lot about goals, like how do you prioritize goals? There's a lot, so I try to make mine much more personal. Some of these companies wouldn't. So I say, as I explain why I've been resistant to goals, so I have shared personal stories about how I've been resistant to goals. So again, I want clients to be like, yeah, she may be younger than us, but she gets this. A time to rest, how important with resting. So kind of focused on goals. I had a client who they needed to cut 40% of their spending down if they want to retire and meet their goals. And so I took that conversation and I turned it into a blog. And so, you know, when your lifestyle has to change, like, how do you do that? Again, all that's from a client experience. Again, actually the same client, different timing, different meetings, but how lifestyle creep really hurt their financial plan. So I have no idea how we did it back then. So those are actual words that my clients said. And so, you know, really trying to make it the hazards of comparing. I had a number of client conversations like that, and so I share a personal story with myself to relate to that. Overcoming holiday shame, I guest post on a blog, a pretty big blog, I Am That Lady. She was looking for holiday articles, and I wrote one on how to overcome holiday shame.
You actually met her at FinCon.
Yeah, I met her at FinCon, and that's how I got connected there. Oh, that's, you know, link there. I don't even know.
Really? There's all kinds. There's,
yeah.
There's quite a few.
There's quite a few.
You pay like $99 and you can use all the images
yeah.
for the whole year.
Yeah, there's people who do that. My assistant does all that. So I write the content. She edits it. She puts the title. She puts the picture, you know, everything. Recognizing success. Again, I was having conversations with clients where I'm like, what you said was successful, you are successful. Like, you're chasing, you know, very much from a client perspective. So what was successful to them 5 years ago is no longer successful, but they're not recognizing that. So that's kind of how I position my blog and what I'm doing on that. But that's very much unique to who I am. So it's finding what do you want to talk about and what's your voice in that.
Do you read a lot of other blogs to get inspiration on articles, or is it?
So I don't. I read blogs. I read other people's blogs to find out what they're doing and how they're doing it. For me, I feel like for me to write the best content, it has to come from me and my experiences. I think what's great about financial planners and what we don't realize is there's a whole world out there who like has no idea what we see or what we, you know, we're like, we have this like inside scoop into people's lives that we can write about that I think so many people would want to hear about. So I don't go to other blogs for inspiration. I try to find it where I already am. So interesting client conversations. I use Slack, and so I have a tab, it's just blog brainstorm. So after a client meeting, if a client said something that I'm like, that just really like stuck out to me, I write it there, and then I might go back and blog about that later. But I think just as a financial planner, we see so much, like our practice could easily be inspiration for everything. What do you mean? Like
if you want to be honest about something, which you're, because your audience is so broad, and also because of regulation, you kind of have to do everything.
Well, I'm my own compliance officer now, so I kind of skip that. The best example that I think I've come up with is I wrote a blog about the DOL fiduciary rule, and I had my editor look at it. And she was just like, this doesn't fit with the message of your blog. And she's like, she's like, I think you're talking in industry jargon and your audience isn't gonna understand it. So that one got cut because it's like, it doesn't, like it matters to my clients, but it wasn't the right place for that, if you would. So I think there's, you have to kind of self-edit some of that. Does that answer your question, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other questions, or?
When you're trying to kind of find the right level of, I don't know how to say it, the right technical level, you know, what, you know, I've heard you should write at the 10th grade level, and that way your entire audience will understand it. So what kind of technical level do you try to write to?
So I think it depends on your audience. So Michael Kitsis, he has a blog. He does not write at a 10th grade level. You know, he writes much higher. And that's because of who his audience is. You know, it's, you know, if you have a firm that's really, really technical and your clients are highly educated on what you're doing on investments, well then yeah, write at a higher level. Or if you're doctors, you're working with doctors and they're highly intelligent, but on financial stuff, you know, you write at a 5th grade level. You know, it's, I think it all depends on your audience. And then getting feedback from it. I mean, I go into meetings and I ask clients, I mean, are you getting the right amount of content for me? Like, do you want more? Do you want less? And like, that's the thing about clients is they tell you, like, it's better for them to get what they want. And it's just opening up that avenue for them to be able to answer that question.
So I don't know what the right terminology is, but so do you subscribe to a blog? And so your clients have subscribed, therefore they get your content, or do you push the content to them?
So, they all, so I have like a client list. So I have two, I have MailChimp right now, and I have two lists. I have one that's my client list, and then I have a list of people who subscribed to my email. So if you go back up here, right here. So I have signed up for our newsletter and received our free transition tool. So if you sign up, you're gonna get emailed this free tool that I've created, right? So I have two lists. So my client list, get all of that. My clients get other information as well. Sometimes I've just sent newsletters out to them, like the market's going kind of crazy, I'll send an email just to my clients. And then I have my newsletter list, and so I'll send out a different, my newsletters basically just get my blog. I'm not doing anything bigger than that. But yeah, tailoring that. But if you're looking for another really good resource for kind of the beyond just the blogging, like how do you build out that funnel? HubSpot has a lot of really good resources. They have a whole platform they want you to use, which gets really expensive, but they have a ton of free content out there. Moz is another one, especially for like the SEO kind of building. That's really good. Great. I hope that was helpful and kind of give you guys a good feel of the blogging world that's out there right now.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and my perspective on blogging. Blogging can be such a great tool, but you have to know the purpose behind why you're doing it. Thank you to the FPA DFW Next Gen Group for putting on the presentation and True North Advisors for offering their space. I'll talk with you next time.